This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on the Lombardi Line as we welcome you into Hour 2. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, in for Michael Lombardi today, the one and only Matt Brown.
Surprise!
Supreme.
Yeah, look at that.
Happy to have you.
I know. It's been a good first hour. The second hour is going to be even better.
No question about it. By the way, if you did miss any of Hour 1, you can always download the Lombardi Line in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts.
We talk to the horses this hour?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question
Can't
about
wait.
It. Jeremy Plonk going to join us in a little bit, get his thoughts on the Kentucky Derby, just 24 hours away from the biggest race in horse racing all year long. It was fun talking to your guy, Mike Somich, who you co-host The Handle with every weekend. Mm-hmm. He came on the Lombardi Line yesterday, giving some of his thoughts and everything, but it's crazy how you have people like Mike who are grinding out this sport all year long, knowing everything that you have to know about it.
Yeah.
And then you just get the influx of text messages saying, okay, so what about the Kentucky Derby? What are your picks this weekend?
Nobody's
talked to me in a year, but now all of a sudden you want me to give you my picks.
So it's
okay,
like soccer, right? So
everyone
pretends to be into soccer when the World Cup comes around every 4 years. You know, like everyone's like, oh yeah, I'm into soccer. And it's just because in an event, everyone pretends to be into horse racing.
Pride of country.
First week of May, every year everyone pretends. And then they will forget about horse racing again for another 363 days, and then they'll come back around.
But there are the people, though, that get drawn in by the Kentucky Derby, and they're like, okay, maybe I'll check out the Belmont.
Absolutely.
I'll check out the
Absolutely.
You know, the big events.
And, yes, all the things like that.
The big Triple Crown events are awesome. But yes, this weekend at Churchill Downs is going to be pretty, pretty special. I am sad, though, we got the news that the horse that I really loved is a long shot, Mugatu, will not be in the field, unfortunately. Mm. Devastating. You know how much I love the name value there, and you do as well. But again, we'll talk about that coming up in just about 15 minutes or so. And then in a half an hour, Nick Alberga covers the Leafs closely, has for years. Get his thoughts on that series with the Bruins as Game 7 is upon us tomorrow and all things NHL postseason. But let's start in the NBA here, where the 76ers trailed by 22 in the first half. They rally all the way back to take a halftime lead. The Knicks end up still pulling this off to close out the series in 6, 118-115, the final there. Josh Hart atoned for the missed free throw in game 5, wide open at the top of the key for the game-winning triple. And that's all she wrote there for the Philadelphia 76ers out in the first round once again.
Yeah, we take a look. The Knicks 11-1 now over at DraftKings to win it all. It's Celtics 130, Nuggets 245, Thunder 7.5, 9-1 on the Timberwolves. And then you find the Knicks there at 11. And one of those quick little, hey, you can make a bet to get more money on whatever is.
That's fun.
So you can also bet on the finals MVP, and there's approximately 0.01% chance that if the Knicks actually win the title, that Jalen Brunson isn't the NBA finals MVP. Like, there's no way they win without him being who he has been through the first round of the deal. So you actually get 12-1 on him to win as opposed to 11-1 for the Knicks to win the title. Again, I think there's almost a 0% chance that they are able to shock the world and win the title, and Jalen Brunson is not your finals MVP. So again, just a way to make the same bet, in my opinion, and get more money out of it than just betting on the Knicks. But he has been Herculean. We talked about this in hour number one, in which when you are being mentioned in the same breath as Michael Jordan for things that you have accomplished on a basketball court, you're doing things right. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Brunson obviously goes out and just has monster game after monster game after monster game in this series, and is able to propel the Knicks into, again, a series that they are now big favorites in.
41 points, 12 assists last night, the first 40-10 game on the road to clinch a playoff series in NBA history. That capped a four-game stretch, as you referenced, 39, 47, 40, and 41. First player with 39-plus in four straight playoff games since Jordan. So, yeah, awesome for him. And it was the former Villanova trio that really catapulted this Knicks team last night. Dante DiVincenzo added 23 points in 48 minutes. Josh Hart, who I referenced at the top, 16 points, 14 boards, 7 assists. He hits the game winner. And considering like his regular season 3-point numbers, over 43% from three in the first round for Hart, good for the Knicks. And I feel for 76ers fans everywhere, who even had ownership paying for extra tickets this week so that you guys would be loud in that building, that it weren't able to pull it off. And Joel Embiid, it's just every year the injuries pile up. He gutted through it. I credit him for that. But between that, the conditioning, Tyrese Maxey, who had 46 the other night, he doesn't show up in the same way. I mean, he did in the fourth quarter, but wasn't his best game. And obviously you have two starting players that go over on the night. So a tough thing there, and we'll see how they ultimately reset going into next season.
Yeah, -235 for the Knicks currently in the series. Pacers +195 in that series. So getting a big plus money price on this. And we see this Pacers team, we know what they're going to do. They're going to run. They're going to go fast. They're going to try to, that's how they're going to try to play you. They do not get away from what they do. This is like this. This is what got us here, and we're going to win or lose with it. And that's the strategy is going to be in all this. I mean, I think the numbers are about right. I think they are about appropriate. That said, I'm not willing to lay the 235 on the Knicks. If anything, I would probably take the Pacers at 2-1, but probably not a bet that's going to end up in my account.
The first game coming up on Monday, the Knicks are laying 6 at the Garden, total 216.5. And I think we are going to see those totals be high, even though the Pacers playing with a very high pace. Mm-hmm. It's the Knicks, one of the slower, if not the slowest teams remaining here in the playoffs. It'll be interesting, but I think that that's about right, about fair.
We have gotten to the point now, and it's hard to argue. We've gotten to the point now. Jalen Brunson's player prop is already.
Oh God, what is it?
34.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
34.5 points. And it's very hard to argue with it. But man, there's no way I could take an over. I mean, is he likely to at least have the opportunity? He's going to take 25 plus shots in the game. So I mean, like the opportunity is going to be there. I just can't, on principle, I cannot bet on dude that has to get to 35 points in a playoff game. Like, I just can't do it.
He's been a monster though. He's been 40 point monster.
The next closest guy on the pro is Siakam at 20.5.
That's why.
It's like the next closest guy.
Good for him. Yeah. And again, the Pacers are in this spot because of the way that they ended up ultimately just dominating the Bucks last night, 120-98 in the closeout game. Dame did end up playing no Giannis though, which is unfortunate for a team that had such high expectations for itself, despite being 30-13 or whatever the record was when they made that coaching change, elected to move on from Adrian Griffin to bring in Doc Rivers, and things just did not pan out for them. I hate that Giannis wasn't available to at least see what really could have been when these teams are at their best. Although I am glad to see Patrick Beverley out of the playoffs after whatever he did with the freaking basketball last night, and then the stuff he was pulling in the locker. Have you ever seen anything?
3 of 11 from the floor and everything else.
Throw all that in there. Yeah. Have you ever seen anything like that though, in a locker room where you say, no, you can't talk to me in the post game scrum because you're not subscribed to my podcast? That really happened in an NBA locker room last night. A 35-year-old man saying no. And she's not even asking questions. She's just got the microphone in there, taking the sound like everyone does in every post-game locker room ever.
You take super personal offense to this as someone who has to do this from time to time.
Somebody who goes in locker room scrums. That is the most absurd thing I've ever seen. Are you subscribed to my podcast? No, get your microphone out of here. Yeah. What?
You're like, guess what? Not only am I going to subscribe now, I'm going to subscribe just to give you a 1-star. How about that?
Right?
Yeah, I'm going to subscribe just so I can rate and review you and tell everyone how terrible you are.
But this after you like do what he's going to get suspended for that. Like you not only throw the basketball once at a fan, but then you throw it even harder a second time because you didn't hit who you intended to hit the first time. are we doing?
The thing about the Bucks, I mean, I understand Damian Lillard was not playing 100%, but I mean, it's like if you're going to go and you're going to play 35 minutes, like, I think you got to shoot the ball more than 16 times. I mean, I understand he had 28 points because he went 10-10 from the line, but like, you just got to beat the dude, right? I mean, you got to be, Giannis isn't out there. Like we're talking about, like Brunson shooting the ball 25, 26, 27 times a game right now, you know, and because he's the dude and he's like, I'm going to be the dude. I'm going to propel my team in the playoffs. And like, I look at this box score and you sit there and you see that, you know, Bobby Portis shot the ball more than Damian Lillard did in this game. And you're like, that seems to be a fundamental problem. You know, when you're Damian Lillard, if you've decided you're going to play in the game, I get it. You're compromised, but if you're going to go, then go, you know, shoot the ball 20 plus times in this thing. That was a little bit disappointing.
I asked a similar question to Zach Graham, but with this Knicks Pacers series upon us, I feel like the Knicks are the team that would give the Celtics the best run for their money. Mm-hmm. If there were to be somebody to have Boston on upset watch, that said, seeing what the Celtics did to the Heat, and granted, like, they're without Jimmy Butler, they're without Terry Rozier, it just feels very much so like it's the Celtics to lose the Eastern Conference. Also, as we speak, we got breaking news.
There it is.
In the NBA, the Lakers ultimately have elected to move on from their head coach, Darvin Ham. We expected that we would get an answer one way or another soon. And does this feel a little scapegoaty to you?
Yeah. I mean, what was he? What else was he going to do with that team? That team played about as good as they were just capable of playing. They're just not as, they're just not good enough. You know, I don't, you could put anybody, you know, in that chair and it's just, they're just not good enough. I think they got, I think he got about the maximum out of that form of that Lakers team that you were going to be able to get. I don't know what more you could, but you have to do something. You have to do something. Everyone wants something to happen.
So what are you going to do? Like you have to, you make this move only if you think you're going to get someone better. So who's that going to be?
Whoever LeBron wants.
Well, is it going to be J.J. Redick? Yeah. Like, that's the name that we keep hearing who would be a first-time head coach, but
yeah,
friends whoever, with LeBron, they LeBron do a podcast wants. Together. Yeah. Like,
yes. It's just, I mean...
You're not... I think that Ty Lue would be awesome, but you're not going to get him to... The Clippers aren't just going to give you... Ty Lue either.
Yeah, it says
they might retain him just so the Lakers don't get him.
Shams already said so. Coach Bud, Kenny Atkinson, JJ Redick, and if he were to become available, Ty Lue.
Which, but again, the Clippers would be petty enough to say we're not going to move on to you from you just so that the Lakers won't have you across the street.
LeBron right now is he's making his list. He's just making his list and he will forward it along and he'll say, here's where we're going.
I shouldn't sound surprised because we all knew this was going to happen. Like the fact that those conversations are already available in insiders' mouths and being thrown out there across the board immediately following that game 5 loss. Like, you know that it's going to happen, but it still just bothers me. This is the players' fault.
Like, I think that they got the max out of that team. They just didn't have the talent.
Whatever. Like I said, the 150th Run for the Roses is coming up tomorrow. The Kentucky Derby. We'll talk it over with Jeremy Plonk when we return. Stay with us on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than VSiN Pro, your ticket to Insider Insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at a great, unbeatable price. It's normally $240. You can grab it now for just $199. And if you signed up today, we'll also give you an extra 2 months free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming daily, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe today. Claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199, but you got to use that code Lombardi, LOMBARDI. Welcome back.
So proud of you.
To the Lombardi Line.
That's a hell of a read.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But it's such a great deal. So I want to make sure we get that out there.
So proud of you.
That voice you hear, not Michael Lombardi, Matt Brown at the desk for Michael today. Stormy Bonantoni with you. And now let's turn our attention to a little horse racing because the Kentucky Derby, about 24 hours away, the 150th Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs. To help us break it all down, we welcome in Jeremy Plonk on the Progressive Guest Line, owner of Horse Player Now, the racing industry's lead fan education and player development website. You can follow him on X at Horse Player Now. Welcome in, and how excited are you that we are just around the corner from Kentucky Derby Day?
This is like Christmas if you're a horse player. I mean, we're all excited about this. I've been playing and betting the Kentucky Derby since I was a kid, going around the cafeteria in middle school, getting money from my teachers to see who we'd put tickets together on in the Derby in the 80s. So for me professionally, I'm in my about 32nd year of covering the Kentucky Derby, going back to the early 90s. And it doesn't lack for excitement every year. And we've got a superstar this year in Fierceness. So anytime you have a big horse coming into the big race, it just feels bigger.
Jeremy, before we get into your picks, everybody's talking about the weather, and I want to get your opinion on this. How worried should we be about it? Are we getting too much? Are we talking about this too much at this point, and how does it change basically our opinion as we move forward if the weather goes one way or the other?
Well, it always seems to rain on Derby Day, right? I mean, it just seems to be the way that it is. But the horses who are at the top of this class have already run on sloppy tracks. I mean, you guys in the desert may or may not know, but it's been raining all over the east and the southeast all winter long. So a lot of these horses in their preparatory races, we call them prep races, have run on sloppy tracks already. So really the ones who have asserted their form on a sloppy track are going to hold that form when they run against on it again. And there's not a lot of horses that are inexperienced over it. So I don't think it really changes the opinion too much. What we could have tomorrow, though, is a drying out racetrack, and that's a lot different. A sloppy track, they kind of press it down with a squeegee behind the tractor, and all the water stays on top. So the track's kind of really hard, and the horses skip over the top of it. In a drying out track, they use the rake and the harrows. They open it up, and it gets very tiring and deep, like running in the deep sand in the beach. Then stamina comes into play. So if you have a horse who's a little bit questionable at the distance or doesn't finish their races with a lot of vigor, it could be a tiring out racetrack, and then you really want to lean on stamina and horses who may have that, you know, sustained running style. So it could have an impact that way. I think we're more likely looking at the weather forecast of what I've seen. You know, handicappers aren't any better than forecasters a lot of times, as you know. But from what I've seen, it looks like we have a better chance of having a drying out racetrack tomorrow than we do a really sloppy, wet racetrack.
So, Jeremy, with that in mind, and you mentioned the prep races, what are you looking for from specific horses and jockeys ahead of the Kentucky Derby? What's most important before you're placing these bets?
Well, typically style-wise, you either want to be right up in the first three down the backstretch, right up into the mix of the race, or coming from way back. The horses who are kind of like fourth, fifth through 12th, they rarely win the Kentucky Derby. The race doesn't fall into their lap. It's usually a horse who just dominates near the front or a horse who comes from well, well off the pace. Fierceness is the favorite. I expect him to be up near the front. He should be first, second, or third down the backstretch. He may not be right on the lead, but he'll be within a length or two of it if he's going to run his race. So he's the horse from the front. The second favorite in the race is Sierra Leone. He's going to come maybe from 20th. He's in post two. He's to the inside, and the entire field is going to come down on him early in the race. He has no early speed at all. So his jockey, Tyler Gaffalione, is going to go far back and just try to circle the field, work his path through. So it's really an interesting race where the two best punchers in this race, one is early, one is late. We might not see them in the same frame at any point until the last 12, 15 seconds of the race, and then it could get exciting. But they have definitely completely different running styles. I look for fierceness, though, with his jockey, John Velasquez, who's won the Derby four times, to be really effective near the front of the pack, because Velasquez's four wins in the Derby, three of them have almost been essentially wire to wire. When he's on the best horse in the race, he's not afraid to just go take the race to the others. And this horse is really interesting with fierceness, because I know a lot of people aren't necessarily horse racing fans when we get to the Kentucky Derby. The comparison with fierceness is he's your starting pitcher. He's Roger Clemens. And for the closer, he's Mariano Rivera. He's as good at the beginning as he is at the end. And that's very difficult for most racehorses. Most are either really good at the beginning and then lose starch, or they're slow at the beginning and sustain their run the entire race. He's good early and late. So if he runs his race, they're in big trouble.
Jeremy, that's all fine and dandy, but we can't make any money off of this guy, right? Like, so what do we do? What do we do? I mean, 5-2, this is not sexy. We need something sexy in our account. So we got to get into the exotic markets, right?
Correct. That's exactly right. And I always say that's why God created the exotic wagers, right? For situations just like this, where we get into, you can't make money. Look, if you bet this horse at 5-2 in the Kentucky Derby, turn in your card, right? I mean, it's not a great bet at 5-2, but the superfecta is the right bet in the Kentucky Derby for a lot of reasons, but it's a $1 minimum bet for each combination. And when you look at a 20 horse field in the Kentucky Derby, it's unlike any field size we have in America. Unlike your sports where you're playing against the house a lot of times and fixed odds, you're playing parimutuel here in horse racing, which means the losing tickets pay the winning tickets. That's the way the system works. Well, in the superfecta with 20 horses in a race, there's over 115,000 combinations that can come in for the superfecta. You would think just the top four, it can't be that many, but do the math, 20 times 19 times 18 times 17, that's all the different ways it could come in, more than 115,000 different ways. That's how we get our value. So even if fierceness wins, we could easily have a superfecta that pays into thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. And that's the way I'm going to try to attack. I'm going to look at it as, look, we got a free space on top, right? Now I got to figure out who's going to run second, third, and fourth, and now we can make some serious money.
I love it. I'm a trifecta box person, but we can get more bang for our buck with that superfecta. So I am all in on tailing you from that standpoint. Is there, though, any long shot that speaks to you, any horse you feel like could potentially upset the apple cart?
Resilience. He's a horse who last time won in New York, the Wood Memorial. He's trained by a Hall of Famer, Bill Mott, one of the greatest horsemen in the history of the game. Resilience is a horse I've been high on all year. He ran against Sierra Leone down in Louisiana. He got beat about three lengths by that horse in February, but he came back since then to win when they went their separate paths in their final prep race, and he looks like he's improving at the right time. He's training tremendously. Bill Mott's got a filly named Just FYI in the Kentucky Oaks today. She's training just as well. They were training so well together, they had to separate the two of them so that they didn't outwork each other in the mornings. I really think Resilience is going to run a good race at a big price. And the other one is a horse named Domestic Product. He's a stable mate trained by Chad Brown, the same trainer as Sierra Leone, but he's going to be about 10 times the price of Sierra Leone. And I've got a feeling he might actually outfinish his stablemate in here. He's been put away since March, since he won a race down in Tampa Bay. He is training tremendously up to this race. I think Domestic Product is a horse at a price who could pop in there as well. So if I get Fierceness on top and I get one of those two prices in the second slot, now it starts to get interesting. How many horses can we afford to use third and fourth?
Jeremy, let's say we've got, let's say we're coming in, someone's parachuting in, not being big time horse better. They got about $100. What is, yeah. How are we breaking down $100?
I still want to play the superfecta, right? Yeah. I mean, look, this is a once a year thing, and not to belittle amounts of money or anything like that. But if you got $100 to bet, what do you need 350 for? You know, like I just never like understand that the grind. I get it if you're a sports bettor and if you're playing, you know, multiple games a day, a week, that sort of thing like that. But if you're coming into horse racing for a one shot deal, let's make something, you know, let's go after it and see if the Kentucky Derby can't, you know, make your career in terms of betting horses. I'd still go after the superfecta again with the one horse on top. You can take four or five in the second spot. Sierra Leone's probably going to rally and finish third or fourth in this race, right? He's going to come from 20th, but I just don't think he's going to get there. So if you could use, you know, Fierceness in the first spot, Sierra Leone third or fourth, a couple long shots in there in the mix, you've got a chance to put a lot of combinations on your ticket for $100 and really have a chance, I'm serious, to make, you know, a couple thousand to $10,000 to $25,000, even with the favorite winning this race on a $100 bet.
Jeremy, you're awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today and enjoy all the action out there at Churchill Downs.
Good luck, everybody. We'll try to get some cash tickets this weekend. We can be sure of that.
Yes. One of the phrases we are known for here at the network is the Brent cash and tickets is what it's all about.
I'm going to have so many superfecta tickets. I'm going to have so many.
Have you picked your four?
I'm going to have so many superfecta tickets. I'm going to be the best superfecta loser on this network.
What would your top superfecta be?
Well, we haven't gone through the power rankings of the names yet.
Just cute. Oh, you know? So is that, we're saving that for later, yeah, end
we'll
of the
that.
Hour?
Yeah, we'll do it later. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. And by the way, for anybody who missed it, both Encino and Mugatu, who would have surely ranked number one in the name power rankings for the Kentucky Derby, unfortunately scratched for the event. Fierceness, again, our favorite there. We're going to return talking NHL with Nick Alberga on the other side of the break.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out the new and improved VSiN.com. We always have our best bets from every VSiN show host, expert, analyst, betting splits. We know how much you love those. See where the money is going on each and every game, plus exclusive articles. If you love our Lombardi Line content, the one and only Michael Lombardi has new columns up each and every week on VSiN.com. Make sure you head over there today. No Michael Lombardi on the program today. He'll be back, though, coming up on Sunday. Matt Brown in his seat. I'm Stormy Bonantoni.
It's mobile-friendly, that site.
Obviously.
Do you know that? Mobile-friendly.
Obviously.
Yeah, you just pull it up on your phone, and it just works properly. Look at that.
It's great news for all involved.
Yeah, it's great.
Welcome back into the show. We're live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, and we're going to be going cross-country and over the border as we welcome in great friend of the show, Nick Alberga, host and director of Leafs Morning Take on Nation Network, co-host of the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast on the Progressive Guest Line. And when it comes to the Leafs, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in, forcing the best two words in sports game seven coming up tomorrow. Nick, how are we feeling about the Leafs?
I feel like I've hacked a pack of cigarettes and I don't even smoke, guys. It's very leafy. I called it when it was 3-1 in this series. I said the Leafs are going to come back. They're going to suck us back in. It's good for life. It's good for business. Obviously, I host Leafs Morning Take, so it's good in that respect. But It just feels different this time around. I'm always careful to say that because it is the Maple Leafs. It is a game seven. It is against Boston, but it feels like all the pressure is on the Bruins, whereas like nobody expected the Leafs to do anything this year of consequence, of significance in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it really is going to come down to like which coach is going to get fired. I think if the Leafs lose, it's Sheldon Keefe. If Boston loses and does the same thing they did last year, it's going to be Jim Montgomery here, guys.
Our first puck drop today, about 7:10 Eastern, Canucks and the Predators. -125 for the Predators at home, +105 Canucks on the road, 5.5. The total, we see this Predators team that was, I don't know if you got this on your, Predators were getting a lot of buzz heading into the
You're just saying this because you work with Mike Somich, who is obsessed with the Nashville Predators.
Every single person we talked to had a ton of love for the Predators, forced me to put a ticket into my account, which doesn't look so good right now. Is this ticket dead for me? What do you think happens tonight?
I hope it's not. I have a ticket on the Predators, too.
Hey, there we go.
They've been one of the hottest teams in the NHL for the last 4 months. The polarizing story with the Sphere and the Pult concert with U2. I think Nashville forces a game seven. I think for a variety of reasons among them, I think they've dropped like four in a row to Vancouver at Bridgestone Arena. That's a tough building to win in, I should say, for the opposition. I think they're going to come ready to play in this game. And I think the biggest factor in storyline is Thatcher Demko not playing, the number one. And in fact, it's not going to be the number two, Casey DeSmith. They're going back to Arthur Shelov's, the third string netminder, who's 23 years of age. And I think you compare him to UC Saros. I know there's a bright future there, but I still would go in the direction of Saros. I think Nashville is going to bear down, and I think they're going to force a game seven. So give me the Preds money line in that game.
Also tonight, the Vegas Golden Knights back at home. So how this thing started for anybody who hasn't been keeping complete tabs on this series, the Golden Knights go up 2-0 on the road against the top seed in the Western Conference, feeling pretty good. Proceed to now drop 3 straight games. RIP, by the way, to anybody who bet the under in game 5, because there were 4 goals scored in the first 12 and a half minutes, and then it still stays under, but neither here nor there. When it comes to tonight, does this thing end or do the Golden Knights extend it?
So I'm always careful when I come on this show and this network, because last year I was famously quoted as saying that Vegas would miss the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then I doubled down in the playoffs and said they had no chance against Edmonton. Then they go on to win a Stanley Cup. Having said all that, let's triple down. I like the Dallas Stars to close out this series, Stormy, in game 6. It's been such a weird and fascinating series where through the first 4 games, the home team had yet to win a game. I just think ultimately, ironically enough, considering Adin Hill's run last year, it's going to come down to goaltending. And while the series is continuing on here, I think Jake Oettinger for Dallas is getting better. And there's a lot of question marks, and rightfully so, when it comes to Vegas's crease. Even looking at Adin Hill last game, I didn't think he was particularly good. Ditto for Logan Thompson, who's been inconsistent once again this season. So I give the upper hand to Dallas. They've won 3 straight games, as you referenced. The fact that Vegas went up 2-0 on this in the series on the road, with everything in front of them on home ice, and they couldn't get the job done. So I say Dallas wins 4 in a row and they win this series tonight. I'm changing my show pick here.
I like it. Look at that.
Words hurt, Nick. Just keep that in mind.
I'm sorry, yeah, guys.
Another
take. Remember that.
Another take of mine, because, you know, Hockey Matt comes out this time of year.
It's true.
Yeah, Hockey Matt comes out this time of year. Have me a Dallas Stars ticket as well. So let's fast forward to Sunday, Hurricanes and Rangers. Rangers look good in their series, getting it done. We don't know exactly when this is going to go off, because there's multiple games that could happen on Sunday. So it might be the only, who knows? We'll
Which,
see.
Hold on quickly. Can I just say, after not long ago, you and Mike Palm were on this program telling me that the Capitals were going to keep the series close with the Rangers. How'd that? At least I got something right in the first round. Okay. I did one thing right this postseason. Go on.
Hey, credit to you for throwing that in my face. You're right. I thought that series would be
if
much closer.
If you're going
closer.
Against the Golden Knights, I had to throw something out there, Nick.
Yeah, no. That's fair. Thoroughly impressed with the Rangers in the first round. I still think the President's Trophy is a curse. Still like Carolina in this series. We all thought it was going to get to round 2, and it was inevitable it was going to be Carolina and the New York Rangers. By the way, it sounds like that series is going to start Sunday night, but we'll see on official confirmation. I for a variety of reasons, and I think the biggest one is that Freddie Anderson is playing playoff hockey for the first time in his career. And I think he's a deciding factor if Carolina is going to win the cup this year. Is if they get the goaltending, I think they win. I think they're deep on the blue line. I love their forward crop. I love the veterans they brought in. Even Jake Gensel's had a very underwhelming postseason thus far. I think it's going to be a close series, but I think home ice advantage will be crucial in that series.
The Canes in the set, a minus 160 favorite. Rangers plus 140 for game one. Pretty even line here. Carolina minus 115. Rangers minus 105. 5.5, the goal total there. And I want to go back to your Leafs here in game seven that's coming up tomorrow. Just general thoughts on how things might play out. Like, I know that it feels like one of those series where the Bruins coming off of last year, as you referenced, and the way that they fall apart against the Florida Panthers, guys could be squeezing their stick a little bit tighter right now than normal. Like, what do you foresee happening tomorrow night?
Couple things to think about from a betting lens, I think, in this game. Number one, David Pastrnak was called out by his head coach, Jim Montgomery, following game six. He's been really, really quiet. I think you look at any time goal in that. I think aside from that, I think there's too much value. It's weird to say this. It is a game seven. It's Boston and Toronto. There's too much value at plus money not to take a look at the Toronto Maple Leafs in this game. Just more so because of the process. Down 3-1 in the series. Game five and six, the way I thought thoroughly outplayed the Boston Bruins, didn't give them much offensively. I think the Bruins are in their head. Everything you just talked about, the fact that last year was 3-1, game five goes to OT, Florida wins it, they go on this impeccable run. And weirdly enough, it's playing out the exact same way now with Joseph Woll. I mean, you want to take a deep stab at a Conn Smythe future. Joseph Woll plus 9,000 is the value I got it at last night. This guy's the real deal. I mean, it's, you always have to be careful to compare people to Carey Price, the great Carey Price from the Montreal Canadiens, but he's so calm, cool, and collected, and I think he is in the Boston Bruins' head. So definitely from Pastrnak, I could see him scoring. I think I expect a low-scoring game. It is game seven. And the one thing I've been hammering, you know, for the last couple postseasons regarding the Leafs is the under 2.5 in terms of team total. 13 straight games, the Maple Leafs have scored 3 goals or less in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It makes no sense. And I just have to keep hitting that right now.
Nick, we're going to parachute in. People have not been watching hockey. They have not been betting hockey. They're just going to parachute in. The Hurricanes 4-1, Panthers plus 475, Oilers plus 475, Avalanche are 550, the Stars are 7-1, Rangers 7.5. So a lot of teams all jumbled up there. Of course, the longer shots, 15, 22, 25, 45, and then 70 if we're talking the Predators. I'm going to give you a free 100 American, 137 Canadian. Whoa. For you to put down on your favorite, on your favorite bet. It doesn't necessarily have to be your favorite team, but your favorite bet to make for someone to root for the rest of this playoffs. Where does that 137 Canadian go?
I'm sorry, Matt. I only play roulette, number 13 on roulette. Give me, it's weird to say this again because the Canadian team hasn't won since 1993. I'll take the Edmonton Oilers. I know maybe the value's not there, but I think you look at their pathway first and foremost. If it's going to be Vancouver, Thatcher Demko's nowhere close to full health. I think they're a better team than Nashville Predators if they play them. Go look at the numbers of Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid against the Predators. They own that team pretty much. I mean, they should have residence on Lower Broadway at this point in time. So I think Edmonton, the pathway is there. I think when you look at McDavid, we're still waiting for that elusive first Stanley Cup. Very similar to some of the greats who have played this game, namely Sidney Crosby. It's going to come at some point in time. So I would put my money on the Edmonton Oilers. They're deep. I think if they get the goaltending and they get the blue line play, I think they could, in fact, win the Stanley Cup this year.
Nick, you're the man. Thanks so much for your time, as always.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
And if there's one thing that you can be guaranteed to get, if you tune into Leafs Morning Take following Game 7, whether it is happy yelling or angry yelling, there will be entertaining yelling on the program. So make sure you catch it.
But polite yelling. Canadians are very polite.
I don't know.
It's polite. It'd be polite yelling.
Yeah. I couldn't believe, I don't know how much of it when you, because it's on like TV4 for you when you have the NHL on, but I couldn't believe the fanfare. Like, I get that the Maple Leafs haven't had a ton of success in recent history in the playoffs lately, but like, show out for your team. What is this wine and cheese crab situation? It was
LGR,
sad.
Rangers.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt Brown in for Michael Lombardi today. Stormy Bonatoni with you as well, live from downtown Las Vegas. Don't miss out on any of the NBA postseason action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From now through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. We've got same game parlays, live betting, odds boost, so much more. Download the app now and use the code VSIN. New customers that do bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The crown is yours. Also get the DK Horse app, because there's another special promo ahead of the Kentucky Derby coming up tomorrow from Churchill Downs, which, by the way, inspired us because Matt and I are not horse racing experts. We know what we know.
We're not going to sit here and try to pretend Correct. Like we are horse racing experts.
We do know a few.
Yes.
And we do a great job tailing those guys. Love Mike Somich. Very grateful to have Jeremy Plonk on the program earlier today. By the way, make sure you go back, download this show in podcast form to get any of his picks and thoughts. But we thought what we would do here is our Kentucky Derby horse name power rankings. Yes. Because that's how we do. We bet what our friends tell us and recommend. Yes. And then we also throw in the best name bet.
Yeah. So we're going 3-2-1. So our best one will be last. My number three in the number three spot. On the podium here, Track Phantom.
Oh, mine is on the podium as well. Track Phantom was my number two.
Number two for me, Catalytic.
I like that. It just sounds nice coming off the tongue.
Yeah, it does. It's just like, you know, in a horse, Catalytic. And if you look it up, it's relating to or involving the action of being a catalyst. This is what Catalytic is.
Okay.
I was wondering.
Very good.
Number one at the top of the podium, Epic Ride.
Okay.
We went on an epic ride.
That one I crossed out of my power rankings. Oh. I considered it, but I removed it from the list.
Okay, let's go. Yours?
Number three, Just Steal. I feel like it sounds tough.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, just something about it. He sounds like a winner. 20-1 odds, by the way,
I was going to say, he will be in your superfecta pool.
I had to find some replacement long shots because Mugatu, who far and away would have been the number one power ranked name in the Kentucky Derby, 150th run for the roses, unfortunately scratched. He and Encino both scratched in this one, so they were out of the running. Track Phantom was two, and then Just a Touch. I go from Just Steal to Just a Touch. Yeah. I don't know. I think that the names were a little bit more lackluster than I was hoping for. We've had some really cool names in the past. And, you know, this list wasn't really doing it for me like they usually do.
That said, here, you and I will both have Track Phantom in our pool. So let's go Track Phantom, you know? We'll at least have common rooting interest.
Throw it in there and fierceness in a superfecta.
Love it. There it is.
That's how we
win all the monies.
All right. Something else that we want.
All the monies.
All the monies.
Yes.
Dollar bill, y'all.
All the lights are going to be off in this place because we win all their money.
Obviously. Yeah. The lights do go out in here sometimes, but not because of that. We are going to close out the show today. Having a little bit of fun combining the Lombardi line with your show, The Handle, something that you and Mike Somich do every weekend called the Emoji Game. So you want to tell people what we're going to do here?
Yeah. So basically we decided to take three different team futures and then three different Heisman odds on guys and attach an emoji to it to see, you know, hey, describe how we feel about these bets and the numbers attached through an emoji.
Okay.
So we're speaking to the younger generation.
To the youngins out here. For Georgia to win the college football playoff national championship, they are plus 320. What emoji would you use to describe that wager?
All right. So you would know better than me. Is there an official name for this one that I have?
I don't think there's a name. Names for these emojis.
So it's
the
one where the guy is like covering up, but he's peeking through one eye. Okay. And so we'll just call it the peeking. And the reason is because I look at it and it's like, oh man, I don't want to see such short odds. But at the same time, I have to look at them because I think that this Georgia team is so ridiculously loaded and stacked to where I'm kind of like, don't show me that. But then also kind of show me that because 320, I know we're going to a different format. I know all the difference. I get all of it. They just have five star guy after five star.
You lost some talent.
Yeah.
Who cares? Number one recruiting class coming right in. Yeah. That's why Kirby Smart got paid the big bucks. You see that $13 million deal coming through.
Good on him.
I went ahead and did the like yawn, cover the mouth. And, boring.
Yeah.
Boring. Yeah. But also to your point, entirely possible. Rightful favorite. As a program, they are 42-2 with two national championships the last 3 years. Entirely reasonable to believe that they're going to do it again.
No Nick Saban in Alabama anymore. So you've got you saw a bunch of kids leave the Alabama program. And so like their biggest competitor for the last decade now is going to be a little bit weakened. There's just so much going in favor of the Georgia team.
So then how would you describe via emoji The 18-1 odds on Michigan to repeat. A lot of changes in Ann Arbor.
I went with the broken heart emoji, and that's for the Michigan fans out there. I'm glad you got your time. I'm glad you got to feel it. I know what it has. I know what it feels like. I've had a couple as an LSU fan, but I have a broken heart here because I think it's not going to be for a while now. Yeah. Same deal we're talking about in Alabama. You lose your coach, you lose your quarterback, and with all that, you lose some recruits as well. And so I think it's going to be a little bit of a road back here. So I did the broken heart there.
I did the monkeys covering the eyes because I don't see it. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just it's not there. You lose a school record 13 players to the draft. You lose your head coach. You lose your quarterback. You lose your star running back in Blake Corum, your wide receiver, your entire offensive line. Like, need I go on?
New it's teams in the conference, you know, all kinds of stuff.
I do like that you bring in Wink Martindale. Big Sherrone Moore fan. I hope that they're able to, you know, make something out of this. But at 18-1, you're not going to catch me placing that bet. But you mentioned LSU, your beloved Tigers, 14-1. What emoji would you use for that bet?
I mean, I did the little face, you know, the guy with the finger on his chin, the hand and finger on his chin.
How about that?
It's an interesting number. I think there's a case to be made, and there's a lot of teams that could fit in this argument outside of Georgia. Georgia is head and shoulders the most talented team in the country, up and down. But I think in the small handful of teams, if you're looking at pure talent and what they are going to field, LSU is probably in that discussion. It's probably in the short it's on the short list anyway. And so if you look at it, it's at least interesting to me because we have seen teams run pure and, you know, listen, they get a head to head with Georgia at some point, and if everything goes right. And I think it's at least interesting. I think they're in the conversation for one of the most talented teams outside of Georgia.
I'm glad that you're optimistic. Mm-hmm. My emoji is the holding back a little laugh there. Mm-hmm. Again, I find it hard to get on board with this considering what you lost in the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback and two first round wide receivers who are gone. You did lead the nation in offense last year, but your defense was big bad. So this all comes down to how much do you trust Garrett Nussmeier and how much do you believe that the defense is going to be upgraded in a big way? Because looking at your schedule right now, the three losses that you had last season, Florida State scored 45, Ole Miss 55, Alabama 42. That's not what you're looking for.
On the defense side, everybody gone. They were like, you guys are terrible. Get on out of here. We're getting someone in here that can coach.
What I will say, though, Brian Kelly's 20 wins in two seasons are more than Nick Saban won his first 2 years at Michigan State, LSU, or Alabama. So, like, on the right track, absolutely. I just think year three asking for a national championship is a lot.
Got a lot of talent, but like you said, it might be a little bit too early.
Going back to Georgia, Carson Beck, favorite to win the Heisman, 9-1.
I did the rocket. I mean, this guy's on a rocket ship. Yep. Like, I mean, this is, to me, this is a good bet, a likely bet. He's at the very least going to be in the conversation no matter what. I mean, he's going to be in the conversation all year long. 9-1, probably going to get shorter. I cannot imagine this thing getting longer. So I have a rocket ship on that one.
I mean, even Stetson Bennett worked himself into being a finalist for the Heisman. Carson Beck is significantly more talented. And if Shedeur Sanders is the favorite to be the number one overall pick next year, or whatever, like, Carson Beck probably should be if we're looking at quarterbacks. So I'm with you there. I did the heart emoji, the little, not the heart emoji, but the making the heart with your hands.
Yeah, the little heart hands.
Yeah, I did that one. I like that. There it is. He's really good. Solid first season at Georgia. He's just going to get better this year.
If there wasn't a reason to get the video subscription to the VSiN Pro,
this is the time.
Because we're doing the emojis, like we're acting them out.
Speaking of Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
He's 35-1 in the Heisman
office. SOS for me. There's all kinds of craziness going on with that. Like, no way, no how, SOS on that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I did the girl going like this.
Yeah, no thanks.
And the biohazard sign. Yeah,
exactly. We're on the same page with that one then, for sure. No chance.
No chance.
They're not going to be any good, so just don't waste your money.
They won four games last year.
Don't waste your money. They're not going to be any good.
Yeah, we call that a St. Jude's play here on the Lombardi line. Last one, close it out. Any non-quarterback to win the Heisman. You got Travis Hunter, also Colorado, 60-1. Florida's Trevor Etienne, 70-1. Ohio State's Quinshon Judkins, 7-1.
Trash can. That's where that bet is going to go if you put in anything other than the quarterback. It's going to be a quarterback.
If the question was cash it or trash it, Matt says trash it.
Yes.
I did the mouth zipper emoji for you shut your mouth when you're talking to me. I mean, history is not on your side. It's a quarterback award. No. There have been three non-quarterbacks that have won the award since 2000. All three of them played for Alabama. All three of them won national titles. I don't see those
Here's
guys
the deal.
Being
Whatever
there.
Money you were going to do, just go in and buy a Visa Pro subscription instead. How about that? There you go.
So much As better opposed, value. Cause
quarterback is going to win.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN. More great content coming up next on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Sharp Money on VSiN next with Patrick Maher and the crew.